Now we come to the letter of Christ to the church in Philadelphia. And this is what I've called the revived church. This is the church that has turned back to the Word of God. And today, I think that in Protestantism, and also that there are many that are in the Roman Catholic Church, our mail indicates that multitudes of people today are turning to the Word of God. There is a movement in that direction. Our mail indicates that from all over the world now, people wanting to hear the Word of God and hungry for it. Now, that's the church in Philadelphia. I ought to say something about this church. I've been to it. It's fact, it's a little town today, and a little Turkish town, rather prosperous town. Now, it's inland, just about as far as any church that we know anything about, with the exception of Laodicea and Colossae. Colossae is probably farther inland than any other. But this church of Philadelphia is inland, and it was like a Greek colony that was over in this Anatolian area that the Greeks, of course, considered heathen and pagan. In fact, the Greek word for it was barbarian. In fact, anybody who wasn't a Greek was a barbarian back in those days. Now, it was over, well, I suppose 125 to 150 miles from the coast, certainly from Izmir or Smyrna, or even farther than that, from Ephesus. Now, this is the one church besides Smyrna that our Lord had no word of condemnation for. Why? Because it's turned to the Word of God. And it's interesting that the two churches he did not condemn, that the places are still in existence, though the church has disappeared. However, in Philadelphia, there's something there that is quite interesting, and I'd like to tell you about that. First of all, there is the remains of a Byzantine church, which reveals that Christianity was active there up to about the 12th or 13th century. And the people who keep that area must be Christian. They don't say much about it, and I couldn't converse with them, but they very graciously brought me out a dipper it was of water and a pitcher. And it gets hot over there, and it was very warm. And they brought that out, and the man and his wife that brought it were just all smiles. I couldn't talk to them. They couldn't talk to me. But we did communicate, I think, something of Christian love. And I did experience that there. That's still in Philadelphia. But that is not the pillar that is mentioned there. A great many point to that, and that's where they take the tours. But my first time there, I had seen a picture before in Dr. Adams' book of a big amphitheater. It's not there. It's been totally destroyed. And I told the guide, I said, don't stop here. I want to go up there on the side of the hill. And we went up there, and there was a Turkish coffee shop up there. And our guide talked to him, and he said, yes, there had been that amphitheater. That had been destroyed, and the only thing left was a pillar. And I have a picture of that pillar that is there. It's hidden away under the trees. Now, why did the Turkish government get rid of that? I'll tell you why. They brutally, the Seljuk Turks, brutally killed the Christians in Philadelphia. And today, they'd rather for you and me to forget about it. But that church went up into the 13th century and was a missionary church and witness for Christ. That's the church that honored the Word of God. Now that city is in a very beautiful valley that is inland a great deal. It is in a valley that the river there empties into the Hermus River. And it runs, actually, north and south. It is a beautiful section, one of the widest valleys of all, and it's built up against the side of this mountain range. There's several mountains that are there. And the old city that was there in John's day and probably Paul's day and the days of the apostles, it had a great Acropolis, great theater there, and the city was built at the foot of the hills. Now that city is spread out a great deal, and it's a typical Turkish town that is there. Now it is in an area where it's subject to earthquakes. Some have asked the question, what happened to the great population that was in that area? Well, they left primarily because of earthquakes. And, of course, warfare. When Tamerlane and these great leaders, pagan leaders, came out of the east and the Seljuk Turks came into that section, it was a time when those that were left were slaughtered, so that today the original population is not there at all. But this city has had continuous habitation from the very beginning. And as we have said, it was like an island out in Lydia, out in the Anatolian country, and the Lydian language was spoken there at first. But by the time you come to the apostles, the Greek language had taken over, and it was a typical Greek colony that was there. It was a great fortress city. It was to waylay the enemy that would come in to destroy the great cities like Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum. Those were the three great cities. These other cities were largely fortress cities where garrisons were stationed to either stop the enemy or to delay him as he marched toward the east coast. Now, this is in a country where we called attention last time that erosion is at work, and the soil is quite alluvial, but very fertile soil. Beautiful laurel trees around, many flowers, and I noticed that they grow just about everything there that is imaginable. But at Philadelphia, it was an area where there were many vineyards, especially on the side of the hill, and the god that the pagans worshiped there was Bacchus, and they were very much given there to idolatry. But Christianity certainly got a good foothold in that area. Now, the city did not get its name, as so many seem to think, from the Bible. Actually, the city got its name because of the love that Attalus II had for his brother, Eumenes. Eumenes was king of Pergamum, and this man, Attalus, had a great love and loyalty for his brother. And because of that, it's called the City of Brotherly Love, as he was here. This was the outpost of Greek culture in a truly Asiatic and Anatolian atmosphere. And there was the Greek temple there of Bacchus, as we've indicated. Now, it was called a Little Athens because of the fact it was in that area and certainly was truly Greek. Now, in A.D. 17, a great earthquake struck that city and totally destroyed it. And the same earthquake totally destroyed Sardis and many other Lydian cities through that area. And Tiberius, the emperor, allocated $1 million for the rebuilding of these cities. And they were, of course, built back. Now, this is the place where Christian and Saracen fought here during the Crusades. And here in 1922, Turkey and Greece fought. And there is apparently there a few Christians. They're under cover, of course, today because they'd be severely persecuted. And I told about my experience there at the ruins of that Byzantine church. Now, this church was in a very strategic area, by the way, to be a missionary church, for that actually was what it is. Now, this is the church that we've labeled the Revived Church, the church that returned back to the Word of God and began to teach the Word of God. And that represents I think, Protestantism today. It began, I think, back in the last century, and it has gained since then. So that Bible teaching today is not something that is new by any means, but it has certainly become rather popular. We feel very definitely that we've come in, this program of Bible teaching has come in on the crest of a wave of interest in the Word of God today. In other words, we do believe that God has raised us up for this particular hour. We have that conviction.